From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
Welcome back to Dale Carter's America. I'm Dale. He's Kurt Wheeler. And we appreciate you being part of the podcast. We have a whole bunch of stuff to get to today, including all the ways that you can be part of Dale Carter's America.
That's right. Hopefully you're watching this on YouTube. We have some clips from the debate today. We have some show and tell of a little excursion we had to one of our sponsors last
Field
week.
Trip.
Field trip. Yes, that's right. And make sure you're following us on Facebook and Instagram as well. And the most important thing you can do is subscribe, like, comment, share our videos. It really helps the algorithm when you comment, when you like, when you subscribe. That means that more people will see it and the message will get out. So thank you for everyone that that is subscribed and watching the podcast. We really appreciate every single one of you.
And we thank our sponsors, too. We start with Bob Watson, State Farm agent. He's been doing this for a long time, taking care of folks in Blue Springs at 7th and Main, 816-229-7878. But don't think you just have to be in Blue Springs to have Bob Watson as your State Farm agent. He's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas, auto, home, life, commercial insurance. You need a quote, you always should be shopping for the best deal you can get. And with Bob, you've got to also factor in his awesome staff who will take your call and answer any question that you've got and be there for you when it all hits the fan. 816-229-7878, Bob Watson, State Farm Insurance. Now, today, this did not come from our t-shirt shop. I bought this one at Amazon, but I thought, you know what? Trying to get Truman County going. How about Harry?
Yeah, there he is.
My dog is named Harry. Why do you think my dog is named Harry?
It's meant to be.
Other than he's Harry, and we did name him after Harry Carey, the longtime sports guy, but Harry Truman also. So we're going to maybe, and I don't know if we can like do our own follow me to Truman County t-shirts. We do have t-shirts available through Tammy Ash on Facebook. She'll do some Dale Carter's America shirts for you, coffee mugs and all that. How do we get that done?
So I believe the post is pinned at the top of the Facebook page. If not, I'll make sure that it is.
Okay.
But there's a little graphic that shows you, you know, how to contact her and how to get sized and, you know, get your t-shirt.
We're still, you know, working hard on this Truman County thing behind the scenes. And I got a response to one of our Facebook posts from Sally Downey. I'm going to read it to you. Sally says, so if you and Jeff Coleman, representative from Grain Valley, are ready to bring a ballot initiative petition to the Jackson County Legislature, is it safe to assume that you've hammered out all the logistics for funding, public safety services, county court personnel deciding on what current state judges would transfer to Truman County, etc.? I live in the county, so I won't be able to count on city services for fire, police, public works, etc. I'm interested in those details. How is this movement different than the last time it was talked about? Back then, we couldn't even get independents to approve money for streets and parks. I really appreciate you reaching out, Sally. I do. I wasn't involved last time, so I can't really speak to that. And I would tell you, as I said on Facebook, that when the United States decided it was time to leave, when the colonies decided it was time to leave Great Britain, they didn't have a blueprint for how this was all going to work. You know, the first step was we don't agree with how things are going over there, and we think we can govern ourselves better. And that's where I come from on this. We don't like the way things are going at the Jackson County Courthouse in downtown Kansas City. We have tried to do it through the ballot box. We are overwhelmed by the city of Kansas City. We have nothing in common with the city of Kansas City. So let's leave, much like the Patriots with the 13 colonies did back in the 1770s. After they declared their intention to leave with the Declaration of Independence, then came the Articles of Confederation, which was the first attempt at a government, which was horrible, right? Articles of Confederation didn't last very long. And then the brilliance of the U.S. Constitution was born. So one step at a time, we will have, if we get this done, if they allow us to put it on the ballot and we campaign really hard on this, I'm sure there will be a period of time that we will have to set up a government. There would be a charter commission that would set out the charter of what Truman County would look like. And yes, this is the only county in the state, by the way, that has two courthouses. Mm. There's a courthouse in Independence and one in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So the structure is kind of already set up for it. But yes, there would be a sheriff. There would be services that would come through the county. And I would almost guarantee you that it'll be a lot cheaper than what's coming out of the assessment situation right now.
Yeah, I would hope so. And I think your analogy is totally accurate. You know, before we had a constitution in the founding of our own country, we had a Declaration of Independence. So this podcast is the Declaration of Independence for Truman County. So we're going to be continuing to work on the logistics and working on the specifics, you know, behind the scenes, but one step at a time. And the first step is, you know, making our intentions clear and getting support behind those intentions and getting people to join us. So that's what we're doing now.
And when we get to that step where we go, much like the colonists did back in the 1770s, the Declaration of Independence was presented to King George, and I'm sure he ripped it to shreds, and then he sent his troops over. I don't think that Frank White is going to send troops to keep us in line in eastern Jackson County. I don't think that's going to happen. But we will, when we go to that meeting, whenever it is, with our signatures on a petition, asking them to put it on the ballot and let democracy rule, that will be when we really formally state our Declaration of Independence. Some other quick updates. Maybe you have seen this in the news. The Jackson County Legislature now has gone to the state auditor and said, we've got a mess on our hands. How bad is that?
Yeah.
For the governing body that oversees all of this to go to the state and say, it's so screwed up, we need the state to come in. And the state says, well, we're kind of already doing that based on all of the complaints we're getting from the residents. And just so you know, when we do this, there's a bill that we're going to pass along. And guess who gets to pay that?
We do.
We do. The people who live in Jackson County, we ultimately will pay for it. The Royals revealed renderings for their presumptive move out of the Truman Sports Complex. And they've said, John Sherman and the ownership group have said, they'll put up $1 billion toward getting this done. Well, the price is $2 billion. Who makes up the other billion? We do. So, I mean, there's incentive to get out while the getting's good, you know, because if Jackson County really wants this, Kansas City, you go right ahead. You pay for it.
I like this picture, this rendering that they have. If you're watching the video podcast on the screen, it says World Series, like as if that's going to happen.
Well, it's happened, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Several times.
I'm just, you know.
It's not going to happen this year.
I'm just, you know, they're trying to sell. They're doing a hard sell here. Let's just say that.
Yeah, there's no question about it. That and they presume that this is going to happen. They're going to put this on a ballot at some point, and I cannot imagine. I mean, I know how I feel about it. I can't imagine with 20% of the county basically saying your assessment is wacko, and nobody likes taxes at this point. Who's going to vote yes for that? I mean, never mind that the team is a disaster. That as we record the podcast, they're sitting at 50 games under 500.
Mm-hmm.
50 under 500. It's going to be another 100-plus loss season. They're sitting at 91 losses with 30 to go. I mean, it's a 100-loss season.
I don't know, man. I think a lot of people are going to support this, sadly, because people just like shiny new things in their city. You know, I mean, it was the same thing with the streetcar. The streetcar... I mean, you could even argue, I would certainly argue that the streetcar makes more sense than this, but you know, with that, it was a new shiny thing. It wasn't really necessary. We don't have like an actual train system or anything, you know, commuter rail.
I tried to get that done.
We don't have real commuter rail in Kansas City, but they wanted the streetcar and, you know, people knew that the city was in a lot of debt and that we didn't have the money to fund it and that, you know, it was going to come out of everyone's pockets. And they didn't really seem to care about that because it's a shiny new thing, you know, that we can put in our city and people take pride in that. So I think, honestly, at this point, it's more than likely going to happen. That's my personal opinion, but
okay.
We'll see.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not militantly opposed to it. I'm opposed to taxes at this point because I saw what my assessment was and what it's been for the last 5 years, what my taxes are on my house. And it's just like... I campaigned enough, you know, in Eastern Jackson County to get a sense for how taxpayers feel in Eastern Jackson County. So we'll see. We'll see what
happens. I'm definitely opposed to it, but I just think it's probably going to happen.
All right. One of the things that we all have to look forward to, well, not all of us, but most of us, is retirement. 65 will be here before you know it. And we have Kirk Doris on the team now at Medicare Simplified KC.com. Make sure that you're asking the right questions and getting the right answers before you go into Medicare, because Medicare has so many different extensions to it. It's the government, you know, at their worst. So you've got to make sure that you've got the right plan for you. Kirk and his team will sit down with you. They'll come to your home. In-home appointments are available. They'll help people determine the most cost-effective ways to fill the holes of Medicare. They've been helping folks for a long time, and they're ready to help you. If you or somebody you know is approaching 65, you need to have this meeting. You need to have this conversation. MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. That's where you find them on the web. They're at 3600 South Nolan Road in Independence. You can reach them at 816-701-6661. And by the way, circle September 15th on your calendar. We are doing a special event that's sponsored by Medicare Simplified KC and United Healthcare. It's a free concert to salute veterans with Travis Marvin, longtime friend of the program at KFKF. It's Friday, September 15th. I'll be hosting it at the DAV Ballroom, Disabled American Veterans, on 40 Highway. It is between Nolan Road and Lee Summit Road on 40 Highway, a free concert for veterans and everyone who supports veterans. So it's a free concert. Show up, have some fun with us, and you know, maybe you'll get some questions answered about Medicare. You need to have that done if you're 65 or you know somebody who is approaching 65 years old. That's kind of like the magic number, right?
Yep.
Speaking of fun, Funhouse Pizza is in Lee's Summit and Blue Springs. Jim Dingman, what a great guy who has been with us since nearly the beginning of us taking sponsors for the podcast. He's got two locations. He's on 50 Highway in Lee's Summit, 7 Highway in Blue Springs. Fun is the order of the day at Funhouse Pizza. You know, we went on the field trip to Clay Como Shooters, and they had the sign on the door, if you smell like weed, don't come in. And I told Jim he needs to have that at Funhouse Pizza. He says, we've already got that. You smell like weed, don't come in. And pull your damn pants up. But once you get in there and you got the family atmosphere going on, you're showing a video right now. And the video just shows kids having a blast at Funhouse Pizza. If you got a birthday party coming up, a banquet for your Little League team or your football team or whatever, great pizza, cold drinks, fun atmosphere. Two locations again, 50 Highway in Lee's Summit and 7 Highway in Blue Springs. And when you take the family there, make sure you tell them you heard about it right here on Dale Carter's America, the podcast. We're in a race to replace Joe Biden. I think we could agree with that, right?
Yep.
That, you know, I said this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast that there was a feeling among the middle, and the middle kind of determines where we go in national politics. You know, the far right is going to vote Republican. The far left is going to vote Democrat. It's that middle part of the electorate that kind of decides where we go. And you know, through history, we've gone Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican. It kind of goes back and forth. If you get somebody you like, they get two terms out of the deal. I don't know that Joe Biden's going to be a two-term president. I don't know that physically he can be a two-term president. Do you?
I mean, he's already kind of not president, really. So at this point, I think they just continue to prop him up. I mean, unless he literally dies in office and they have to get a body double or something like that. But otherwise, they're going to prop him up. They won't let him speak in public. They won't let him speak off prompter. They might not even let him speak at all. And
right.
I think most people would not bat an eye. They're just going to, you know, continue to do what they do.
Well, if you want a preview of the 2024 Democrat presidential campaign, go get the movie Weekend at Bernie's and watch that, because right. That's exactly what's happening here. And the leading opposition candidate, this could only happen in a banana republic, right?
Yep.
Not exactly. Booked in Atlanta for questioning the outcome of the 2020 election. You wonder, do you think he practiced for that mugshot? I mean, that is like defiance.
It's so good. It's so good. I love it. I don't know. Did he practice? I mean, I don't think he practiced like in front of a mirror, maybe. But I mean, I think he knew that it was coming. You know, he knew what was happening. He knew he was going to get his mugshot. And I think he knew, you know, what sort of vibe he wanted to portray.
Definitely like,
you
not
know,
a smile.
Are you going to smile? Are you not going to smile, for example? And, you know, there was some polls like on Twitter and stuff. And I think the overwhelming majority of people, you know, said he was not going to smile for his mugshot.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is the look of like retribution right there.
Can you flip the bird in a mugshot? I mean, I've never had a mugshot, but you can almost see that's the look he's giving you. You want to see his like right hand come up with the single finger salute.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. He's got like lasers coming out of his eyes. It's amazing.
And both sides are trying to capitalize on this. Obviously the Trump campaign, I mean, they're selling t-shirts and coffee mugs and bumper stickers. They're selling everything but the oink in order to promote this. I mean, he's promoting this to his base. His base is fired up. And the left, I mean, my God, I have a lot of liberal friends. I know you do as well, right? Mm-hmm. Their Facebook pages, it was like Christmas. It was like Christmas in August. We've got his mugshot. Yeah. Oh, and he says he's 6'3", 215. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. It's funny. There's some good memes. I'm not going to be able to find them right now, but some good memes of like people like passing each other on the street. And it's like one's like a blue haired feminist and one's like a MAGA hat wearing Republican. They're both on their way to pick up the Trump mugshot t-shirt.
Yeah. So like Trump wins, reason. Right? Trump wins.
I mean, he's raised, I think, already like $4 million or something like that just on merch. Yeah. It's insane.
Well, and again, we know that if he's the nominee, and you know, one of our friends on Facebook, I said, I thought Nikki Haley had a pretty good night that night. We'll get into the debate here in just a second. But he's like, really, you think that? And I said, well, who do you think did well? And he's like, why are we wasting our time? Trump's 30 points ahead in the polls. Just get behind him. Well, the first vote or caucus hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah.
Well, you got to let the process play out.
I mean, I will say, though, I totally agree. You know, let the process play out. Let people vote for who they want to vote for in the primary. Continue to have debates. You know, people are going to support who they want to support, mm-hmm. and I have no problem with that. But, like, when this mugshot came out and I saw that picture, my first thought was, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, the primary is over. The Trump is the nominee. I'm sorry if you don't like him, but like he's the nominee. It's over.
Well, you pointed out that the interview he did with Tucker Carlson had, you know, hundreds of millions of views.
More than like the Super Bowl and the Olympics combined. Yeah. So,
and then somebody said that it was fake news, right? And it's like, really? I mean, how do you fake that?
Yeah, no, our favorite liberal on the Facebook page was... He came in and was commenting on the semantics of the view count. It's like, you know, well, it's not unique views, it's total views. So it could be the same person watching it 100 times, you know, then you only have 2 million people instead of 200 million people. But either way, I mean, I haven't looked at the ratings for the debate yet. I don't know what the numbers were for Fox News for the debate. They kind of shot themselves in the foot, though, because from what I heard, you know, they kind of cracked down on people's ability to stream it. Like normally during the debates, you know, you'll see it on C-SPAN, you'll see it streaming online, like on YouTube or something like that. And I think Fox News kind of cracked down on that because they wanted to funnel people to watch it on Fox News. And I'm sure the numbers were not nearly as good. I mean, 10 to 1 would not surprise me in the slightest.
Well, it took me a couple of days to get around to it, and I really only watched half of it. And by the end of like half of it, it's like, okay, I think I've seen everything I need to see here. I will tell you.
You talking about the Tucker or the debate?
The debate. Oh, okay. Debate.
Gotcha.
And honestly, I didn't even watch the Tucker thing because I pretty much know the act of Donald Trump. I know what he's going to say. And I knew what Tucker was going to say. I've seen that in clips. The debate is, you know, I wanted to watch that to see if anybody else could step up. And DeSantis was full of energy. I thought Nikki Haley did well. I mean, she said some things that aren't generally said in a Republican debate. It's like, basically, stop lying to people. You know, who ran up the big debt numbers that we have? You know, and it's just like what we've said on the podcast. Democrats are running toward the cliff at the speed of light, and Republicans are doing it at the speed limit, but the destination is still the same. You know, she talked about stop lying about what we're going to be able to do on abortion. And then there were a lot of, I thought, blah, blah, blah moments. That's why I had to tune it out eventually.
Yeah.
It's like they're just saying the same shit over and over again. And honestly, I mean, I like Mike Pence. He did a great job as governor of Indiana. He was an awesome congressman before that for the Southern Indiana. And I thought he did a good job as vice president. But when he gets up there and he says, I'm going to close the Department of Education, I want to give him the full of shit award, you know, because nobody's done that.
Yeah.
Nobody's done that. And there have been some really good conservative presidents. Ronald Reagan didn't close the Department of Education. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump didn't close the Department of Education. Why do we believe that Mike Pence is going to do it?
Yeah, I mean, everyone says that they're going to do it, and it's like, if somebody's going to do it, it's not going to be Mike Pence. I mean, let's be honest. It's going to be somebody else.
And then when they get into the whole abortion thing, and he's like, you know, I'm going to pray. And I, you know, we all have our faith and spirituality at whatever level that we have it, right? I have it in – I'm a more spiritual person than I am a devout Catholic anymore, because for me, I find God outside of the church building, right? I feel like I've got a personal relationship with God, but I don't talk about it a lot, right? And I don't like people who do. It's like the people who – holier than thou is what I call them. And my second wife, her parents were just like that. Basically, if you didn't toe their line, you weren't getting into heaven. And I just don't buy that. And I don't like it when they mix these things together. I just don't. I mean, you know, abortion is an issue that we ought to talk about and hopefully put it to bed one of these days. Because right now, both parties are beating the shit out of each other with this issue. And Democrats love it. Mm-hmm. They love this issue. I don't think they care about it a lick. But they know that they can fire up their low-information voters and get them to the polls because Republicans are going to take away your ability to have an abortion. It's just a bunch of crap.
Yeah. Well, we can get into it. You want to watch some of the clips? We got a few clips from the debate here. If you want,
yeah,
to check
let's
them out.
Go ahead.
Okay, so here's Nikki Haley.
I don't care about polls. What I care about, the fact is that no one is telling the American people the truth. The truth is that Biden didn't do this to us. Our Republicans did this to us too. When they passed that $2.2 trillion COVID stimulus bill, they left us with 90 million people on Medicaid, 42 million people on food stamps. No one has told you how to fix it. I'll tell you how to fix it. They need to stop the spending. They need to stop the borrowing. They need to eliminate the earmarks that the Republicans brought back in. And they need to make sure they understand these are taxpayer dollars. It's not their dollars. And while they're all saying this, you have Ron DeSantis, you've got Tim Scott, you've got Mike Pence. They all voted to raise the debt. And Donald Trump added $8 trillion to our debt. And our kids are never going to forgive us for this. And so at the end of the day, you look at the 2024 budget, Republicans asked for $7.4 billion in earmarks. Democrats asked for $2.8 billion. So you tell me who are the big spenders. I think it's time for an accountant in the White House.
She's telling the truth.
Yeah. It's just, again, you know, they all say that every time. They all say that. And it's like, I find it hard to believe that it's like Nikki Haley's going to be the one to, you know, cut spending. It's just, I don't know, man. And she's right. I mean, Trump spent a lot, you know, they spent a lot under the Trump administration, and COVID blew the whole thing out of the water.
It certainly did.
She's right about that. But to say that, you know, she's going to be the one to end it, I don't know, man. Here's the other one on abortion, a short clip.
Let's find consensus. Can't we all agree that we should ban late-term abortions? Can't we all agree that we should encourage adoptions? Can't we all agree that doctors and nurses who don't believe in abortion shouldn't have to perform them? Can't we all agree that contraception should be available? And can't we all agree that we are not going to put a woman in jail or give her the death penalty if she gets an abortion?
I got to pause it there because that's just false. That's a...
Which part?
The put women in jail or give them the death penalty for getting an abortion, that's a liberal talking point. That's not real.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this for just a second, yeah, because both sides are kind of full of shit on this issue, because a lot of Republicans are saying that Democrats support full-term abortions, and, you know, Democrats are saying that Republicans would put you in jail or give you the death penalty for that. And one of the things that they come back to is this vote that happened in the Senate on February 28th, 2022, okay? It was the Women's Health Protection Act co-sponsored by 48 Senate Democrats, okay? And in that, it basically took away a lot of the restrictions on abortions and the right to have an abortion prior to fetal viability, typically around 23 or 24 weeks. So when you ask a Democrat what they think about abortion, is that their standard? Should they be able to have an abortion up to 24 weeks? Is it 25 weeks? Is it 30 weeks? Is it all the way to 40 weeks? That's the question that we should be asking. And the reason I say Democrats don't care about this, this is just a whipping boy issue for them. You've got two people who call themselves devout Catholics. One is the president, and one used to be the House Speaker. Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi are allegedly devout Catholics. If you're a devout Catholic, there is no way you get behind abortion.
Yeah, I mean, the official policy of the Catholic Church is 0 weeks. I mean, yeah. You know, they don't even support
exactly.
contraception.
So for either one of them to take Holy Communion, they should be struck by lightning at the altar.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's complete blasphemy what they think about this. Now, as a public policy issue, I mean, even Mike Pence is saying 15 weeks. So if we could finally get to a consensus like Nikki Haley's talking about and say 15 weeks, what's the issue?
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, that makes perfect sense. But I think the problem is that for the left, this is a very emotional, ideologically driven issue. You know, it's not...
So take it away from them.
There's no practical limit. You know what I'm saying? And like, yeah, if you talk to five different Democrat voters, you're probably going to get five different answers. And I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush, but there is a very large constituency of people in America who don't think that there should be any limit, who think that it should be, you know, taxpayer funded, that a baby is not a baby, you know, basically until it's born. I mean, Hillary Clinton said the same thing. This was just a few years ago. She was interviewed and basically said that the baby has no rights, that the baby has no rights until it's born. She was asked that question specifically, and she said, yes, that's correct. So I do think that's sort of the default, you know, position, again, with some nuance, understanding that not everyone feels that way. But you start asking questions, it's like, okay, when should it be legal, at what point, you know? And then say they give you a number, then the follow-up question to that is why, you know, why this week and not this week, you know? And then you really get into it, and then their whole argument falls apart.
Well, I think abortion's a bad idea for another reason that we haven't even really talked about, and that's the fact that we're essentially at full employment right now, and yet there are a lot of jobs going unfilled. We're not replacing people. The baby boom generation that I am the tail end of, Kurt, we're leaving a lot of empty spaces. Everybody was worried about overpopulation of the planet at some point. Well, the birth rate has fallen to a point where we may have the opposite problem now.
Yeah. Certainly in the West, that is certainly true. You know, we're replacing...
I heard China might have a problem there.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you know, I don't really care about the birth rate in China. That's their problem. But as far as America and the West is concerned, we're not replacing, you know, the next generation with our own offspring. We're replacing the next generation with immigrants from the third world. You know, that's the people that are coming into America now to fill the workforce, as you're talking about, for the next generation. It's not our children. It's, you know, foreign nationals from Guatemala or wherever, you know.
Well, and that's why we ought to really have a grown-up discussion about legal immigration. Okay, we are to a point where we need more people. We need the best and the brightest is what we need. And there was a time in this country when we had grown-up discussions about immigration, and it was like, here's what we need. The best and brightest in the world who yearn to live free. Okay, think about what happened after World War II. A lot of those scientists who were in Nazi Germany, they became Americans, mm-hmm. because and they're the reason that we went to the moon, because we got the best and the brightest out of Germany to come to the United States. We're at a point now where we need to hold up our banner of freedom and say, if you yearn to live free and you're the best and the brightest and you're who we need, come to America. Here's our immigration policy. Not, you know, the worst of the worst as you unlock all of your prisons down south and just let them flood across the southern border. That's not an immigration policy.
So do you think we should have more legal immigration than we have currently?
Absolutely, I do. And, you know, we need to have two things. You know, we need a secure southern border, and we need to have a rational immigration program that suits the needs of this country. What does this country need? You know, what kinds of scientists do we need moving forward? You know, what kinds of highly skilled laborers do we need moving forward? And do we need low-skilled laborers, too? Because we've got people who won't even do those jobs. But look at where we are. We're essentially at full employment. We're at 3% unemployment. And how many times, Kurt, have you gone to a place and they're like, well, we can't stay open because we can't find anybody. We can't hire anybody. It's happening more and more in every field.
So that's, I guess, kind of where I'm getting confused. If we're at full employment, then how are all these jobs available? And if we are at full employment, meaning low unemployment, then how is bringing more foreigners in going to solve that problem.
Well, I mean, right now, if you're at 3% unemployment, that's essentially looked at as full employment. That everybody who wants a job has a job. So right. We don't have enough people. That's the problem. We need higher birth rate, and that's not going to solve itself overnight. I mean, that's something where, you know, people your age need to get busy with it.
Yeah.
How many kids are you going to have? You going to fill up a whole house?
The wife wants 6.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's good because that's above replacement.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Way above. But yeah, I mean, I don't really support more immigration across the board. I think, you know, it's more than just about economics. It's about identity and culture and, you know, the formation an idea of what the country is, you know, societally, and we're losing that. And it's not, you know, a racial thing or a demographic thing. I mean, that plays into it for sure, but it's, you know, that people who live in America, who are coming to America, don't have any appreciation for America. They don't speak English. They don't know our history. They don't know our values. And that to me is more important than, you know, the unemployment number. It's what is the cultural identity of our country. You know, Japan is a great example of a country that takes that very seriously. If you go to Japan, everyone there is Japanese. You know, they, even if they're not racially Japanese, they all speak Japanese. Mm-hmm. They all understand the culture. They all, you know, eat sushi with chopsticks or whatever, you know. And they have a very coherent
identity.
Cultural identity, yeah. You know, and that's something that we have lost over time. And I think that's,
well, there was a time when
no
we
small
had
deal.
A more reasonable immigration policy where people came in from Ireland and Italy and places like that, and they did assimilate. They were proud to assimilate. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we can revive that as well. That can be part of a more rational immigration policy. But, you know, those are discussions that we're going to have down the road. I'm just telling you that until we figure this part out, there's still going to be long lines at places. There's going to be lack of service at places because they can't fill all of the positions.
Yeah. Well, that is just going to lead to automation probably, you know.
And it is.
In a lot of cases. Yeah,
it certainly is. So I didn't give out a full of shit award to any of the Republicans, but I just felt like it was like blah, 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 blah. You got more clips you want to play?
Well, we have Mike Pence, but he's kind of boring. Can we? Can I play the – this was the clip that kind of everyone was talking about. This was towards the end of the debate, I believe.
Well, I didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
Well, go ahead.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I just saw the clips. But basically what you're about to see is Bret Baier is going to ask – all of the candidates on the stage, if Trump is the nominee and he's put in jail, will you still support him? And there's a few things to point out in this that I'll kind of pause throughout. Okay. But
you all signed a pledge to support the eventual Republican nominee. If former President Trump is convicted in a court of law, would you still support him as your party's choice? Please raise your hand if you would.
President okay, Trump, all right. I gotta show that again. Because this is like, you know, there's like policy
well,
stuff.
Let's keep score.
And then there's this kind of stuff, which is just as important, I think. Like personality, charisma. Just watch the reaction of everyone on stage here.
Please raise your hand if you would.
So Vivek puts his hand up right away.
Yeah.
Haley puts her hand up. Tim Scott puts her hand up. Or puts his hand up.
Yeah.
And then watch these three right here, particularly Christie and Ron DeSantis. Watch their reaction.
Bergman. There's DeSantis.
Okay, so DeSantis, I'm going to put the camera on me. DeSantis looks over at Vivek like. So he is relying on the other guy for his answer, which is a bad look.
Yeah.
And Christie, look at him. He's looking over at everyone else.
Yeah,
he's calculating in his brain like, okay, what do I do here? And then he sheepishly raises his hand. Yeah, I guess.
Then
this is the ensuing the little tussle between Vivek and Christie that followed that.
President Trump, I believe, was the best president of the 21st century. It's a fact. And Chris Christie, honest to God, your claim that Donald Trump is motivated by vengeance and grievance would be a lot more credible if your entire campaign were not based on vengeance and grievance against one man.
That is true.
People at home.
Yep. It's a good dig.
See a bunch of people blind. blindly bashing Donald Trump without an iota of vision for this country, they could just change the channel to MSNBC right now. But I'm not running for president of MSNBC. I am running for president of the United States. We're skating on thin ice, and we cannot set a precedent where the party in power uses police force to indict its political opponents. It is wrong. We have to end the weaponization of justice in this country.
30 seconds, Governor DeSantis.
You know, let me tell you
something. 30 seconds, Governor
DeSantis. You make me laugh because you sit here in an answer. You sit here in an answer.
Just mogging Chris Christie. Boo.
You sit here and answer.
Go ahead. Does he ever get the answer?
It keeps going. No, it keeps going. I mean, that wasn't the full clip, but the crowd keeps booing him, and then Brett Baer has to turn around to the crowd and be like, "Hey guys, stop it. We need to keep this going." Yeah. And they just keep booing him. It's great.
You know, and Ramaswamy said something early in the debate about how, you know, I'm a young guy with a skinny young guy with a funny last name, blah, 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 blah. And I thought Pence got in a really good line. He says, you know, the last time we heard that line, it was Barack Obama. And
that
was
Christie.
Disaster.
That was Christie.
Was that Christie?
Actually, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, that was
the whole debate just goes blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
blah,
yeah,
blah.
I know. That was Christie's one kind of good dig against Vivek. But then the crowd kind of got riled up after that, and it was hard to hear. But Vivek said his response to Christie was, well, why don't you come hug me like you hugged Obama? Maybe you'll help me get elected like you helped him get elected.
Maybe I shouldn't have turned it off as early as I did.
But
oh,
yeah.
Well.
Okay. I mean, it was a kind of a shit show, but not too much. You know, a lot of people said that Vivek won. He had a good message, but, you know, I'm kind of starting to notice about him. I don't know if you feel this way, too. He seems like very rehearsed. You know, he seems very...
There is some of that. And like, when you get into foreign policy with him, he's way out of his depth. Yep. And I think that's something. I mean, he's bright. I like he's articulate. I love some of the things that he says, especially about domestic policy. But when you get into foreign policy, he's completely lost.
I'm just going to go back to this real quick. Trump. Trump
and
is
then
the
rest
candidate.
Of them. All right. So we want to thank our friends over at Midwest GI Health and MidwestGIHealth.com. They are part of our fun little podcast here. Dr. Mark Terramina, he's the GI doctor. He's got the entire GI tract. But the thing that he wants you to get out of this podcast more than anything else is if you are 45 or older and you have not been screened for colon cancer, talk to your doctor. Okay, get the appointment. It's one-stop shopping at Midwest GI Health and Wellness in Lee's Summit. They'll get you in, they'll get you out. It's painless, and whatever the result is, they're going to have a plan for you. Most folks, it's like clean as a whistle, we'll see you in 10 years. Others, there's a little bit more of a discussion to it. But Dr. Terramina is an excellent doctor. We love having him as part of the podcast. Army-trained veteran at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. He and his wife are great folks to hang out with, and he's got a female doctor. If you want a female doctor there, if that's important to you, they'll take care of that as well. It's in Lee's Summit, Missouri, GI Health and Wellness, Midwest GI Health and Wellness. You can find them on the web at MidwestGIHealth.com. Get your appointment at 816-836-2200. It starts with a visit to your doctor. Get the referral and let Dr. Mark Terramina give you that clean bill of health, because colon cancer is a killer, and it's happening earlier and earlier. Used to be 50 was the benchmark, and now they've lowered it to 45. So that's something you need to get done. Something else you might want to need to get done is solar on your house. And there's a real good reason for that, presented by our friends at Evergy. They are raising the rates, and they're asking you to pick which plan is best for you. And for that, we turn to special guest Mike Dale from Royal Roofing and Solar. We have special guest Mike Dale in the studio with us. And by the shirt that you're wearing, you must be with Royal Roofing and Solar.
I am, proudly.
I'll tell you, Austin Watterson's company, he has a great company, a lot of fantastic employees. He has the best vehicles and the best logo wear in the business.
I couldn't agree more.
I love the color scheme.
Yeah, it's great. Driving that Bronco is pretty awesome.
Yeah, there you go. And, of course, Royal Roofing and Solar did the roof at my house, Casa del Carter. Now, we're only going to be there maybe 8 years max, could be 4 to 8 years. So we didn't do the whole solar thing, but you're doing a lot of solar in town.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Would it have been, I mean, I didn't really have the conversation with Austin. Would it have been cost effective knowing we're only going to stay like 4 to 8 years?
Well, so I've got kind of a no go, no go. 3 years, no. You know, do it on your next house. 5 years, yeah, maybe. You can start seeing a pretty good return on your investment.
Yeah.
8 years, yeah, you would have seen a sizable return on your investment.
Well, you know, I'm trying to separate the eastern suburbs from Jackson County and form our own county, Truman County.
That's what I heard.
That's why I'm wearing the Harry S. Truman t-shirt today. And if we can't get that done when Fauntleroy graduates from Blue Springs, we're gonna move down to Cass County.
Come on.
It won't be my problem.
Right.
And I think the odds are that that's probably going to happen. I'm holding out hope that we can get Truman County done. But that's why I didn't do solar at my house. But the roof there is fantastic. You're the solar guy. So talk about solar. I know with Evergy, they're changing their rate structure and all that. Tell me why solar on the house is a big deal.
Well, so over the last 60 years, every 15 years, your electric bill has doubled. Most people don't know that. Most people don't think about the fact that if you have a $200 a month electric bill right now, at 0% inflation, the land of free money and unicorns, if you will, at 0% inflation, a $200 a month electric bill is $60,000 over a 25-year period. Whereas with solar, if you had a $200 a month payment, it just stays at $200 a month, and it gets paid off, and you've got free energy. When you're dealing with a company like Royal Roofing and Solar that guarantees their energy production, has products that are guaranteed for 25 years in writing, the gamble is, where's inflation going to be? Inflation on energy is at an all-time high right now.
Well, we think, you know, we talk about that quite a bit. In fact, last week we had kind of an economics lesson, because I think there are people out there, we call them low information voters, who think that, you know, we had a spike in inflation at like 9%, and now it's probably 3%. The Fed would like to get it to 2%, and they think prices are going down by that much, and that's not true. When it was at 9%, that's where it is. And then when it grows at 4%, it goes up from there.
Correct.
And then 3%, and then 2%. It's always going up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it will continue to go up. And, you know, I was teasing earlier about the carrot and the stick. It's, if our government likes something, they incentivize it. If they don't like something, they tax it. Well, the electric companies are doing kind of the same thing. They dangle the carrot. Carrot hasn't worked, so they got out the stick.
Yeah, and that's what Evergy is doing. I got the direct mail piece, like many of us who have Evergy as our electric company, and it says, you know, you can pick the rate structure that you want. And my wife and I are going, we probably need to sit down and talk about this and see what's best for us. You've studied this. Tell me what you found out.
Well, for me, being in the solar industry, none of it looks good. When I can take solar, put it on my home, and keep my energy prices down to little or nothing, none of it looks good to me. The problem with the rate increases, the one that looks the best for most people, is one where they just raise the rate across the board for all 7 days. They have four different packages, and you guys, as you know, you're going to have to pick from one of them.
Exactly.
One of them is going to keep your rate, your rate's going to spike between 4 and 8 p.m. during the week, but on the weekend it doesn't, things like that. I highly suggest people get on Evergy's website or one of your local news channels websites and read up on it, because there aren't very many good... Not a great option out there. It's don't turn your air conditioner down between 4 and 8 p.m. Don't bake cookies between 4 and 8 p.m. No dinner. Don't do the laundry. They don't want you using the grid between 4 and 8 p.m.
What's so special about 4 to 8? Just demand?
It's when everybody gets home.
Yeah, okay.
You remember the old cell phone rates where it was like after 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Free?
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. Is 4 to 8 p.m. people use the most energy. The most energy is consumed between 4 and 8 p.m. for 90% of people out there.
Okay. All right. There you go. So if you get solar in your house, can it really replace what you're getting from Evergy?
Absolutely. So as long as net metering is a thing, okay, what net metering is that's where you trade energy with the electric company, okay? At Royal, we build systems custom fit for the homeowner. So one guy, everybody wants to know, what's solar cost? Well, it's different for everybody. What's your electric bill, Dale? You have any idea?
About $300 a month.
$300 a month. Okay, mine's not. Mine's like $180 a month. I need a smaller system than you do. So obviously it would cost less.
Mm-hmm.
When you go solar, it does. It produces the energy that you need. And you, during the day when you're producing more than you need, you're giving credits to the grid. And at night when you're not producing with solar, you get some of those credits back. That's known as net metering.
Okay. Well, folks who are interested in this, of course, we've had Royal Roofing and Solar on with us for quite a while now. If they want to get more on this, get a better explanation, maybe an in-home demonstration and what it's going to cost for them, how can they reach you?
Very, very simple solution. So you can email me your electric bill at mikeD@solarbyroyal.com. That is M-I-K-E, the letter D, at solarbyroyal.com. Or you can even text it to me, 816-200-6259. Either one of those will work. I look at your 12-month usage, broke down into months. I enter it into our computer program called SolarGraph. I design a system specifically for your home and your energy needs, and then I come sit down with you and I give you a quote.
Wow. One-stop shopping at Royal Roofing and Solar. Mike, thanks for explaining it to us.
Dale, thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, so we went to one of our newest sponsors. In fact, they are our newest sponsor, Clay Como Shooters. They're on 69 Highway in Clay Como, right between I-35 and I-435. We met with Herb there, and we had a great time. That's going to be a special edition of the podcast that's going to air next week. So make sure you watch for when that thing drops. But it did start with a little picture, Kurt outside the door there. It talks about firearm sales and ammo sales, but what we keyed in on was the red sign right there in the middle of the window. And basically, if you smell like weed, don't come in.
Yeah.
No exceptions on that. So talk about what we did there. We did a little target shooting.
Yeah, we did. So, you know, we're not shy about this. I'm a little bit more of a firearms guy than Dale. We both support the Second Amendment, obviously, but we wanted to go to Clay Como Shooters and have Dale kind of try out some different firearms, maybe at some point being interested in making a purchase for self-protection. And so we went and tried out, you know, got fitted for a handgun for a Sig Sauer, and then we went into the range and shot a little bit. And it was a good time.
I got to tell you, I'm thinking about moving up my CCW classes with Herb because I drove into the parking garage at about 2:45 this morning, and I was immediately presented with a vehicle with its headlights turned off, kind of cruising through the parking garage, two guys in the front seat who did not look like altar boys. Mm. Let's just put it that way. So, you know, you would hopefully never have to use it.
Right.
But just knowing that it's there might give you some security. And I've talked to other people, you know, about my age who have kids and grandkids and families that they want to make sure they go home to. And because we're forced to work in this dump, you know, in Westport and the high crime area that it is, I mean, you know, you should be ready to protect yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's something that really goes underreported. You know, I mean, I don't want to totally get on a soapbox here, but we always talk about gun crime, mass shootings, gang violence, and things like that. But the amount of self-defense, defensive gun use that happens in this country is astounding. I mean, if you look into it, it's anywhere from hundreds of thousands to millions of cases per year. Most of the time, not even involving the discharge of a weapon. It's just, you know, you present a weapon and the guy runs away or whatever. But and it's very hard to report on that for obvious reasons. But so it's very important that people take that seriously. And if you have the mental capacity to handle that responsibility and you have the ability to, you know, afford to purchase a firearm and get some training, then, you know, we certainly recommend that you do that.
And after spending that day with Herb, he's a great trainer. Mm-hmm. And he said all of their guys have a police and or military background. Herb has both, and he would love to train you. Training is key. Don't just go in there and buy a gun and think you're done. You need to be trained. And I am just at the tip of the iceberg on the training part, and Herb made me feel so much better about it once we got through the range and all that. 69 Highway in Clay Como, their website is claycomoshooters.com. You can reach them on the phone at 816-452-4867. And again, next week, a special episode of the podcast, Kurt and I at the range and all of the training that Herb gave me up to that point. But let's go ahead and do the reveal here. This was my first target with the SIG.
Oh, here, let me get you full screen.
And the SIG is a 9mm, right?
Yeah, 9mm compact handgun.
My first shot went right through the throat. So that guy's having a bad day. And then you can tell as Herb worked with me, the shots got lower.
Yeah.
See? There, yep. There. And then all of a sudden,
kind of a little smiley face there in the center. I didn't
exactly
really notice that.
So, you know, by the time that Herb really got me trained, I was down to there. Then, you know, you went to We just have yours on the big gun, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What was the big gun that?
So it's not an actual MP5. That's a military issue automatic submachine gun. But there's a civilian version. It's a HK MP5. I forget what it's called, but
and semi-automatic, not automatic.
Semi-automatic, 9mm suppressed.
Yeah. Yes. So just so that people don't know this, maybe you know a semi-automatic. You know the left tries to scare the hell out of you with that. That just means one pull, one bullet.
Right.
One pull, one bullet. There's no da-da-da-da-da-da. That's in the Democrats' mind. That's what they want you low-information voters to think. But that's not true. Okay, so this is Kurt.
Yeah, one flyer there.
You almost went for the wiener shot. That was a little low there, but
I think that's yours, actually. I got to give you credit. Yeah, you had a good target.
I think the other one's mine.
Oh, the other one is yours.
Yeah.
This is mine.
Yeah.
Okay, so I went for the wiener shot there, but everything else went in there.
Yeah.
That guy's having a really bad day.
Okay. Sorry for all the audio-only listeners here.
Yeah, well, see, this is why you need to be on video.
Yeah.
And definitely next week, because the field trip, it's all video.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Kurt. Man, Kurt went crazy. He's got really good grouping down here, but he also went up here for the headshots.
Yeah. Well, he was saying that he had it sighted in at, I think, 10 or 15 yards. We were shooting at like 5 yards. So I shot a little low, but you know, what are you going
to
do?
Well, and to his point for self-defense, that's where that generally happens. You're not going to do a long target thing.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's going to approach you and, you know, it's going to be close contact.
Right. I mean, it's like 95% or some crazy percentage of situations that actually result in defensive gun use, whether it be discharging a weapon or not, happen within like 15 feet, something like that. So very close.
Okay. From the this and that category this morning, well, it's morning for me. I don't know when you'll catch the podcast, but we were talking about EVs last week on the Facebook page, and I have a question that I want to ask these people. You know, how many EVs will lower the temperature of the earth? Because if you really think that, if you really believe that you know the solution to climate change, and I'm not denying climate change exists. Again, our planet is 5 billion years old. It's been through everything. So is it warming now? Yeah. I mean, I think you could make a case for that. Is man responsible for it? I don't know. We're maybe a contributing factor. So you've decided, the Biden administration, that you want 67% of all new cars sold by some ridiculous number to be all EV. California has said that all vehicles sold by a certain year will be EVs. So how many EVs will it take to lower the temperature of the earth? And no one will answer that question, right? So our favorite liberal, he goes off on, you know, because I made some comment about you could actually be doing more harm to the environment because of the mining issues that are going on and tearing apart the third world to get all of these precious minerals that you need to put these batteries together. And then what the hell are you going to do with the batteries when they're done? That's another environmental issue that they don't want to talk about. So what does our favorite liberal say?
Oh, I didn't know you wanted me to pull it up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that's what you did pull up. We don't have to do that. But he never answered the question. And then he came back to me and he said that actually he and I are probably a little bit closer because, oh, what he did say, which I thought was completely full of shit, was, you know, the people who are shoveling manure, because I said something about manure, they're the ones that say we have to go all fossil fuel.
Right.
Who's saying all fossil fuel?
I don't think anyone's saying that. I mean, we're certainly not.
That's a straw man argument. Yeah. Nobody is saying all fossil fuel. In fact, what I have said, you could go back to episode after episode of this podcast. What I have said is we need to have an all-in energy policy.
Yeah. I mean, one of our sponsors is a solar energy company.
We just
had a segment with them. So
let's have an all-in energy policy. Let science dictate where we go. Let the market dictate where we go and get government's thumb off the scale. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. I think that's what Joe Manchin wants. This guy came back and he said, you and I are probably closer because I kind of wonder why we're not doing more nuclear. I wonder why we're not doing more nuclear.
I think with the nuclear thing, people kind of have this, they're like scared of it. You know, they have this like fictionalized idea from Three Mile Island or Fukushima or Chernobyl about all the things that can possibly go wrong.
Right.
And they don't want to see that happen, obviously, and they think that, like, oh, if you build a bunch of nuclear plants, you know, one of them's going to blow up or something like that, which is not the case anymore. I mean, the amount of safety that improvements that have been made in the past 20, 30, 40 years are incredible. So
how much of our Navy is powered by nuclear?
Yeah.
And when have you heard of a problem with anything that happened with our Navy?
Yeah. Yeah, you have, you know, submarines that are hundreds of feet under the water with enough nuclear warheads on them to blow up, you know, half the planet.
Well,
they're run by nuclear energy, exactly. And they do fine. So.
They do fine. Yeah. So that's something we got to look at. But make no mistake, I'm not shoveling the manure that it all has to be fossil fuel. I think fossil fuel is definitely a component of it. And I think where the left gets off is they say, you know, no fossil fuels. That's idiotic. In today's, you know, America and in today's world, that is just idiotic. And again, the next time somebody gets in your face about this, ask them how many electric cars it'll take to lower the temperature of the Earth by 1 degree.
And ask them what type of energy electric cars run on.
Exactly. Well, there's that. That's called an inconvenient fact. Here's another from This Is That, a comparison of how two different crimes were handled. One in the Kansas City area. In Gladstone and Clay County officers responded to a call about suspicious people looking in cars or whatever. They get there. They want to apprehend these guys, and they take off, right? One of them jumps in a car and takes off. The officer grabs hold of the car, and he's dragged. He had to go to the hospital, right? One of them gets shot and dies, and the other one escapes. So he's fine. Meanwhile, in New York City, they had a drug deal with an undercover officer. They were trying to make the arrest. Have you heard about this?
No.
Trying to make the arrest. The guy flees on a scooter. So the officer doesn't want to shoot the guy because that would be a problem. I mean, you know, criminals get more rights than the victims in a lot of cases. So he does the next best thing. There's a cooler sitting next to him, right? So he throws the cooler at the guy, hits him in the head, and the guy goes out of control on the scooter and runs into a car and dies.
Oh, wow.
The detective suspended without pay.
Jeez.
That's New York City, okay? In our area, you know, especially Clay County, I can't say it for Jackson County. Jackson County, there'd probably be all kinds of paperwork. They'd be in trouble for shooting the guy. But they shot the guy who was trying to flee. The other guy dragged an officer in the car. And then the third guy got away, as far as I know.
Oh, damn.
You see it?
Yeah.
All right. Again, this is where we watch video only here.
Yeah, he just smacked him with that cooler. That was crazy.
Yeah. So he's in trouble. Didn't shoot the guy, though. Just hit him with a cooler.
Yeah.
And there you go. Okay. Lastly on This Is That, This and That. I think I've made this prediction, but I'm going to make it again. The return of COVID just in time for the 2024 election.
Wow, what do you know?
We're already seeing it, right? We're already seeing mask mandates in universities, right?
Yep.
I mean, I went to the grocery store yesterday in Blue Springs. Somebody walking out of the Hy-Vee by themselves into the parking lot wearing a mask. I mean, you know, some people, I mean, it's like their security blanket. You feel like you want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. All right? We may make fun of you, especially if you're driving around by yourself in a car. But if you want to do it, do it. As far as requirements, though,
requirements? I think I'm going to add that to my deportation list. So my new updated immigration policy is that we close the border. We deport anyone who doesn't return their shopping carts, and we also deport anyone who wears a face mask while they're driving alone in their car.
There you go. He's a little tougher on immigration than I am. That's Kurt Wheeler, ladies and gentlemen. But the Democrats have a blueprint, Kurt. They did this. They did this in 2020. They put Biden in the basement. Don't talk to anybody, okay? And then they did all of these changes to election law in certain states without going through the legislative process, which is completely illegal.
Yeah.
All right? We have a Constitution for a reason. I know the Democrats don't like the Constitution. They hate the Constitution. They hate the government as constructed. They've got their own ideas. Pack the Supreme Court, get rid of the United States Senate. I mean, these are things that they've openly talked about. And then they go outside of the legislative process. They set up all these funny, you know, phony banana rules on voting that are accepted, even though they're outside the legislative process, and voila, Joe Biden gets more votes than anybody in the history of the Republic. You think they don't want to try that again?
Oh, they're absolutely going to try that again because they know that Trump is a real threat. I mean, the amount of attention, support, money that he's getting right now. You know, I think, I mean, this is my prediction. I made this prediction before 2020 too, but I think the trend of minority is, and in particular black support for Trump, is going to skyrocket even more in 2024 than it did in 2020.
What do you base that on?
Just, you know, I think I'm seeing a lot of stuff on Twitter. I'm talking to people, you know, that are a lot more open to Trump and support him. And it's also like the fact that they're coming after him so hard. It's like, not to make it too stereotypical, but it's like when rappers like get arrested and go to jail for like 8 months before their next album comes out so they can get like the street cred, you know. I think that there's a lot of that going on. People are seeing that they're really going after this guy, and they see that Joe Biden sucks. And, you know, there was a really funny video. We can't play it on YouTube, but there was a guy that was standing outside of the when Trump was arrested in Georgia. There was a whole bunch of people out there protesting, and the guy had a big shirt on that said "Ends for Trump," a black dude, and it's really funny. I recommend you check it out on Twitter or YouTube or whatever, but we can't play it on the podcast for obvious reasons.
So let's watch. Keep an eye on them, and I know there's another vaccine that Biden is pushing now, and I got to tell you, I took the initial two vaccines, and I took the one booster. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yep.
You got Joey either?
Yeah.
About the uptick of COVID cases and new variant?
Yes, I can. Matter of fact, I signed off this morning on a proposal we have to present to the Congress a request for additional funding for a new vaccine that is necessary, that works. And
it works.
Tentatively, not decided finally yet, tentatively, it is recommended that, it would likely be recommended that everybody get it, no matter whether they got it before.
Okay, so, I mean, he's leaving open the idea that this may be mandatory. They love their mandates.
And you notice he also says, we're approving funding for a new vaccine. It's effective. It works. So are you implying that the last one didn't work?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, he said before, if you got the vaccine, you wouldn't get COVID. He's had it 15 times.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, eat right, be healthy, and know that through this whole COVID nightmare, the doctors are smarter than they were. They know how to treat it. You know, don't be scared of this, and don't let Democrats scare you into going into the basement and accepting things that we don't accept in terms of voting laws. Voting laws are done through state legislatures for a reason. So let's don't have a repeat of 2020. What do you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank Bob Watson again for being with us on the podcast. If you need insurance, we all do. He's at 7th and Main in Blue Springs, 816-229-7878. Auto, home, life, commercial insurance. He's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. His staff ready to give you a rate quote. State Farm, surprisingly great rates right now. And Bob Watson is a fantastic American. We love him. Glad he's on the podcast. He weighs in all the time on things that are happening. And I know if we ever get Truman County done, he's going to be a big part of that as well. 816-229-7878. Now, I put this on the podcast as kind of a kicker here. And then I was listening to Gary and Eric on my way in on Red Eye Radio. And Fox News, their digital department, they are guilty of something that I didn't think they would do. But apparently it's come to this. Clickbait. They're putting up, you know, outlandish headlines, and then when you read the story, it's not quite as bad as the headline.
Right.
So the first thing that I saw was alcohol czar says that you're only going to be able to have two drinks a week. And it turns out, you know, it's going to be a recommendation, much like the food pyramid modeled after Canada. I don't like being told what to do. I've talked about this on the podcast many times, and it's hurt me in my life at different stages. I don't like being told what to do. I think I'm a self-starter. I know what I want to do. I'm going to get in there and do it, and I've always struggled against authority. Have you struggled against authority
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, maybe I went along with it on the COVID thing initially, but now I'm fighting back. And I fight back whenever the government tells me I can't have a gas stove. I can't have a gas water heater. I got to have these kinds of light bulbs. That is not what the framers designed the federal government to do. And yet, when Democrats are in control, it's mandate, mandate, mandate. So for now, it may well be a recommendation, okay? But keep an eye on them. because their recommendations turn into executive orders. And the next thing you know, that outside of the congressional process, you know, the federal government is telling you, you have to do this.
Yep. That's how it goes.
I'm not even a beer guy, but I saw that headline and it pissed me off.
Yeah. Only two strawberry Malibus per week.
Not a strawberry. I'll have a strawberry daiquiri, but then Malibu and pineapple.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pineapple.
With a little
Malibu.
Bit of soda water to give it some fizz.
Okay. There we go.
Keeping my man card. All right. So the definition of fascism, because they like to call us fascists. Okay. And when you go to Wikipedia, the first thing it says is a far right authoritarian ultranationalist political ideology and movement. So if you get beyond that and it's like left, right, and all this, and you get into the guts of what the definition is, okay, it's characterized by centralized autocracy. We're getting that. Forcible suppression of the opposition, Donald Trump with his mugshot. Belief in a natural social hierarchy, the rich men north of Richmond, right? Subordination of individual interests for the perceived good of the nation and race, okay? Tell me that the Democrats aren't fascist. This is exactly what they're doing. And we've got to keep our eye on them. We're keeping our eye on the prize here. And remember, next week we've got the special edition, the field trip to Clay Como Shooters. You'll see who shot better. In fact, Herb said to the novice of the two of us, he's a natural. Find out which one was a natural next week on Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.